Australia has made a decision to ban social media for under 16s, right? And it's all about online safety. Now, joining me to unpack what this means and also to reflect on the work that they do is Dean McCobry, who's the founder of My Social Life, a globally recognized social media educator with 11 international awards. Dean, good morning, and thank you very much for talking to us on 919.
Thanks, Sam, and love the work that you do. Lots of respect for that.
No, thank you, thank you. Love the work that you do too, Dean. Before we get into kind of the work of My Social Life, just your initial reaction to this big decision. This wasn't taken lightly. I remember the articles, the commentary online on social media, on YouTube. And finally, we hear your reaction.
It's a balanced reaction from me, because I think that as admirable as it is, and it is, because, of course, potentially lives can be saved by the fact that some kids have self-harmed or taken their lives based upon things that have happened to them online. So there is no question that it's an extreme positive that essentially some kids, without them even knowing, could avoid a really potentially harmful situation by being online. The balanced side of that is I'm not entirely sure how they're going to do it. And also, where does it leave kids who have these online communities of friends? Or, for example, where does it leave kids who are content creators and exploring their passions online and sharing really good work online, for example, that immediately gets cut off? So people might say, well, that doesn't really matter. Well, I mean, there's a lot to it. Is 16 the right age? Exactly how they're going to be able to verify it? Parents play a huge role. Lots of parents want their kids online. It's a tool that enables them to be entertained and means that parenting is a little bit easier. Not that that's a good thing. It is such an incredibly layered debate, this one.
But Dean, you know, it's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I find it interesting, and I know there are many sides to this story. It's not just as easy as a decision. But the ones in the know will argue that 10% of all content created online, well, it's 10% of creators creating content for 90% of all individuals online. So how many kid creators are there actually, number one? Number two, one could argue that, and it's always happened, time has always shown that the moment there is a intervention created, somebody will come up with another solution. Maybe there's a YouTube Lite, maybe there's something else. And I know that there's been extreme reactions to this decision, even though many countries are currently talking about what should be the appropriate age, how we should engage. Just so maybe your reaction to this idea that maybe it's the right thing to do, but the naysayers, there'll always be naysayers. But in actual fact, if we're going to save children, we have to do something extreme.
We do need to do something extreme. The reality is that these global social media platforms that are worth hundreds of billions are seeking to scrape the data of all people, not just underage people, because when they have the data, when they mean the data, they mean data points. So this is a boy, he is aged 15, he lives in Polokwane or whatever, and they're able to have that data so that they can target you, so that they can sell things to you, so that they can get money from advertisers. It's as simple as that. And they don't care, because they need that data. If they don't have that data, certainly from this generation that's coming up, then they won't be able to sustain their ad revenues, and then some heads are going to roll. So they're not going to stop. And there have been whistleblowers inside these platforms who have said they know what they're doing. So yes, they do need to be stopped. The challenge is that, and of course it's too late to say, but this should have been done 15 or 10 years ago, and government should have woken up and said, hold on a second, we're not protecting our kids. It's too late to say that. So we need to do something. But the question is we're doing it now they call it an inflection point in technology, in which now kids are learning online in schools. They are also... we've allowed them to be glued to devices. We have kids who are 8, 9, and 10 in some cases, either using their parents' device or they even have their own devices. And also there's now AI coming down the barrel towards us between 2025 and 2030, which is going to be a key source of learning, and also a place in which everyone's going to have to compete for work. So what
I get what you're saying.
If we take kids offline, right? If we take kids offline, what we're definitely going to do is give them back their childhood. Okay. So I teach in schools this topic: online safety, gaming, social media, media literacy, everything. Trust me, I am pro this.
Yeah.
I just think that it's all well and good, but what happened to the original job that we should have done, which is, can we please educate kids about what it is to be a digital citizen, what it is to be online, what it is to be a good human? Can we go back to doing that? Because it has been done poorly, very poorly.
And maybe we should also include and rope the parents in, because these are the individuals that are walking into shops and stores and buying these very sophisticated devices. We've seen around the world things like, for example, the growth in dumb phones, young adults moving away from smart devices and choosing simpler devices. Could that potentially be an option? But on the back of that, I also want to say that the work that you do, it's beyond bans. It's about advocating, as you've just eloquently spoken about, is about advocating for education, is to make sure that the education around these devices that are now not just pervasive, they are in every inch of our lives. Some of us don't have a personality. We never used to have a personality before we grab a cup of coffee. Now you don't have a personality before you grab your phone.
The problem is how would you turn that back? And I think what we've got to understand is there are two channels here, okay? And they're running side by side. The one is the promise of prohibition. And remember, prohibition meaning in Australia they're going to ban it. Okay, great. Let's watch that. Okay, now let's imagine that is only going to come into effect next November as a starter for 10. And the fine is something like $33 million to that platform. That's a drop in the ocean. That's a nothing. It is an absolute zero for hundreds of billion-dollar companies.
For sure.
Not even much of a threat. Okay, so what I'm trying to say is, on the one side, the world is going to be watching how Australia handles this and whatever. So now let's talk about South Africa. What's going to happen in the interim? Do we think that the government is going to put something in that's similar? And if they are, how are they going to police it? Because they've got a lot of other problems. So what we've got to do is focus on the ball, not the man. And what I mean by that is, the ball is, what are kids doing online today, tomorrow, the next day, and every day until we see if our country's going to do a ban and how they're going to execute it? Because that could be as long as 2 years, 3 years away. And what we've got to do is we've got to actually look at this and go, hold on, Australia's done this. And the medical general in the US has also said, hold on, this is a real problem.
Yeah.
And the stats show it. And we should go, oh, hold on, it's a problem. What are we, as the adults looking after children, going to do about it? Let's start by putting in a proper digital curriculum which sits alongside social science and languages and so on. And it's something that we start to show kids that technology's here, it's here to stay. You need to use technology for good. Yes, you can have mindless socializing and entertainment, but ultimately, this tool is the biggest super tool you're ever going to get into your hand. And there is an inflection point in which it's not going away. So can we start to show you tech for good, AI for good, and so on? Can we show you what the modern life skills are? Not the old life skills. What are the ones that are happening now? We haven't done it. Anybody that's tried to do it hasn't done it very well. We've tried to get in and schools bounce us a lot of the time.
Yeah.
To the degree that we're going to make one of our programs entirely free nationwide next year. We've kind of just gone, you know what? Like, there must be no barriers to help educate children in this country around modern life skills and social media, because it's got that desperate trying to persuade adults that this is a really important issue. So we've got to be careful that this decoy of what's happened in Australia, we're all talking about Australia.
Yeah.
What's happening today in South Africa and what's going to happen next year in South Africa? We need to wake up that it's important enough that Australia has seen it.
Is it a case, Dean, that we have not had, and I don't know if this is a silly way of structuring this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is it that we Look, we've seen many laws, even in the UK, related to kind of imaging, sharing videos without permission, of whether it's of an intimate nature. We've seen Australia ban. We've seen the House of Senate representatives in America hold these long conversations with the CEOs of TikTok, Facebook, and the list goes on, and it's well documented. Is it a case, to your mind, as the expert, as the one who's traversing spaces, going into other places, talking to individuals, is it, do we not get the threat? Is it the smart people in the room who know the threat? And, or is it just, don't we know how big of a threat a social media really is to not just the mindset of young people, but to the actual fabric of society?
We're desensitized. So that's what I'm saying, is it's been going on for so long, and smartphones are so wonderful to look at. You unbox them, they're shiny, you turn them on, they flicker into your eyes. They give you chemicals in your brain, dopamine, oxytocin from your engagement online. And we look at it and we love it, and it's entertainment and it's escapism and everything. And that's for the adults too. And so when we see our kids online, we look at it, we go, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen to me. We're all doing that. We do that about our own health when we eat bad food or we smoke or we vape. It's not going to happen to me. And so what happens is there's an ignorance, a denialism, and a desensitization. That is being human. So that's not a criticism of any human. And not if that's you, that's not my criticism of you. I'm saying that's what it is to be human, is to deny and to want to escape and so on, because life's tough, or it's great to be entertained or to get mindless, for example. But unfortunately, the devices have been in our hands, and the tech gets better and better, and the social media platforms have got smarter and smarter about how a human operates and the types of rewards we get in our brain, that they know exactly how to play us. We are literally lab rats in the hands of these companies. We really are. They know exactly what to do. So essentially, that's the reason why, is it takes a lot of consciousness from leaders. Now, leaders don't just mean government. They mean educators. They mean the Western Cape Education Department. They mean school principals. You need to go, hold on a second. We might be sitting, because ironically, I believe that AI is one of the greatest opportunities for the continent of Africa, because kids have been cheated out of really good education because of all sorts of social and economic problems. And now we have a tool that you can chat to, and it can teach you anything at the level of a PhD
for sure.
Graduate. That's insane. So you can actually, a child can go, if they can find their way to a Wi-Fi hub in some way, or they can get themselves to a computer terminal, they can learn almost anything now for free by just logging into ChatGPT and saying, tell me, as a grade 5 math student, how do I do this sum? No, yeah. Try again. Tell me again. No, try again. Tell me again. And you can do it without any teacher. Can you imagine what's possible for people if we just pointed them to a one-on-one tutor?
Look, final question from me, Dean, and thanks for being so open and just, yeah, kind of sharing what we're dealing with. If I had to ask you to look into your crystal ball, which is a very difficult thing to do, and I know that the advocacy work doesn't stop. I know it's a lot of work that needs to happen. But gaze for me into your crystal ball. Is there a chance that South Africa will join the rest of the world? I know that there are policies loosely in place, but do you see comprehensive legislation from a South African government that will either, whether that's now through policymakers, educators, and parents, will put that framework in place in a serious way that is either similar to what Australia has done and what America's considering? Or do you see us still trying to navigate this space? Because we have introduced online learning in schools. It's fairly new. There's still a lot of the bugs we're ironing out. So in the next 5 to 10 years, you see South Africa, if you get to gaze in your crystal ball, see them join or go the same direction as Australia?
I think it's possible, yeah. I mean, there are some great advocates. Obviously, we're advocating for it. There's a brilliant social media lawyer, well-known, Emma Sadler, for example. You know, with enough movement and going to the right people, you can do that. The question is, let's take a look at other things like POPIA and the cyber crimes bill and so on. It still isn't completely perfect in being able to solve issues, certainly because in this country we've got much bigger issues to solve, much bigger issues than this to solve. So how have we been doing at upholding some of these new acts and some of these new laws? Not amazing, let's not lie. And that's what I'm saying, is there are so many different steps that we need to consider. First of all, as you said, will it come here? Maybe, but then it would probably be 2 or 3 years. The world's going to wait to see how Australia goes, and they're going to learn from it. So now we're talking about 2028. And when they do, are we going to be able to uphold it? And how long will it take for those social media companies to be fined? Are we going to be able to uphold it? And how long will it take for those social media companies to be fined? And will parents jump on board? And how will we get the national awareness of this, where parents shouldn't do this and they shouldn't give their kids these types of devices and they shouldn't connect them? Now we're probably talking about another year or two. That's what I'm saying. Let's deal with today. What do our kids deserve? They deserve a digital education, and they deserve a life skills education, which transcends any other type of education, because it's about the human. How will they cope and survive and be resilient and be able to understand who they are as humans? And then what could they do with technology alongside the other academic subjects? Because there's only one guarantee, and this is my closing point, is tech ain't going away, devices ain't going away, social media ain't going away, and AI is going to only explode 5 times bigger than it is now. So that is the only certainty, is things are going to continue at the same or faster trajectory. Should we not start to attend to educating? The adults need to do a 10x better job on really supporting kids to say, you know what?
For sure.
Maybe this inflection point is something where we can truly support you by pointing you to the right doors. Dean, and that I believe is the main work that we need to do.
No, love what you're saying. Dean McCoubry, who's the founder of My Social Life, to reacting to the Australia's decision to ban social media for under 16s. Dean, thank you very much. We deeply appreciate it. I'd love to have you back and talk some of the other challenges that we face, but also some of the successes that you've had with your organization. So really appreciate your time.
Really appreciate it, Sam. I'd love to come back. I try and deliver a balanced view. Some people may not like it, but teaching in schools for 6 years, tens of thousands of kids, there are some inevitabilities. And I genuinely believe adults hold the key here. We can all do better.